For our Bible study this morning, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 32. Let me read the first two verses of Isaiah chapter 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be a hiding place from the wind, a covering from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, without reservation and without hesitation, we can plainly and boldly say that this scripture, as all the Old Testament, tells us about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. These verses, like Isaiah 53, are a prophecy of our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, God our Savior, His person, He's the King, His work, He shall reign in righteousness, and His great salvation. He is our hiding place. Now, from these two verses, I want to go back and look at them and study this morning and tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ in studying these two verses. We see in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1, talks about a king. And we're instructed here to behold a king. And we could rightly say, behold the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior and our Redeemer is described by many names in Scripture. It would astound you to go back through the Old Testament and the New Testament and see how many times the Lord is referred to by many various names. He's called the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's called the Good Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, the Great Shepherd of the Sheep. He's the Captain of our salvation. But perhaps my favorite name, and one of the names that describes His person and His work most gloriously, is this title of King. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King, God's King. He's King of all the earth. In Revelation 17 and again in Revelation 19, the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's every man's King, and He's every man's Lord. In His birth, when the Lord Jesus was manifest in the flesh, God incarnate, manifest in the flesh in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. In His birth, when the wise men came seeking Him, remember what they said? Where is He that not will become king? Where is He that is born king? He was king when He came. He's been king throughout all eternity. In His life, when He came into Jerusalem during His ministry, remember what the people said? Hosanna, glory to God, blessed is the King of Israel. They honored Him as the King. Even in His death, Pilate made that sign, put it over his cross. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. In His birth, in His life, even in His death, He is God's King. He said that in Psalm 2. Our Lord God said, behold my King, I've set Him upon my holy hill, Zion. Now, from this text in Isaiah 32, two things are described that our King is and what He does. This King, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, God our Savior, it says that the King shall reign, and then He reigns in righteousness. Now, two things. This word reign means that God Almighty is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is our King, and He reigns in absolute splendor, in absolute sovereignty. Sovereignty. He reigns. What does that mean? That means that He's the absolute controller of all things. All things that come to pass, of Him, Paul said in Romans 11, of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory. David said, our King is in the heavens, He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. David said in Psalm 99 that the Lord reigneth forever and ever. Our Lord prayed that way in John 17. He said, the Father hath given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me. The Lord Jesus Christ as King, He reigns. In creation, that means He rules sovereignly. He's the owner. He's the great sovereign. The ruler of the universe. He reigns in creation, in providence, and most surely and certainly He reigns in salvation. He's Lord of salvation. He'll have mercy on whom He will. So you see, He is the King. And as the King, who is high and lifted up and sitting on the throne, He reigns. And then it says also in this text that He reigns in righteousness. Righteousness. Now, Israel of old suffered through many wicked kings from the time after David and Solomon reigned until they were carried away into captivity. 40 different kings, most of them, did evil in the sight of the Lord. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God's King, He reigns, but He reigns in righteousness. In Jeremiah chapter 23, we read this, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." He's the King. Make no mistake, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's not a pitiful ruler. He's an absolute sovereign King. He reigns, and He reigns in righteousness. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? And then also in this text, Isaiah 32. Get your Bible out if you're at home this morning, or if you're traveling in your car. Just listen to me. Isaiah 32, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of righteousness, but He's also the Prince of Peace. In Revelation 1:5, He's called the Prince or Ruler of the kings of the earth. He made peace with God through His blood, and as the Prince of Peace, having made peace and brought in salvation for His people, He is the Prince that rules in judgment. The judgment of God's wrath fell on Him. He made peace with God for His people with His own blood. He is the Prince of Peace. We have peace with God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Him. God made this King. The Lord Jesus, He's the King Priest. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And then in Isaiah 32, verse 2, we see this description. This King who rules and reigns in righteousness says here that He's a man. A man shall be a hiding place from the wind. Now, the same one who was called King, Isaiah describes Him as the man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. A man shall be our hiding place. Now, every believer finds great comfort in the eternal deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say with Thomas, we call Him and we own Him as my Lord and my God. God manifest in the flesh, totally and fully and completely God. Were He not God, He couldn't save us. He's able to save to the uttermost because He is God. Anything too hard for God? I don't think so. But equally true is His glorious humanity. He remained what He was, eternal, holy God, and became what He was not, flesh, and dwelt among us. He is what the old theologians called the God-man mediator. Only as man could He establish righteousness for His people. He said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to honor it." And as a man, He honored God's holy law. The Lord said of Him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Only as a man could He suffer for the sins of His people. Peter said He bare our sin in His own body on the tree. Only as a man could He suffer for sins. God can't suffer. but the God-man mediator did. Only as a man could he be the mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the king priest. Such a high priest became us, but he is holy, harmless, separate from sin. But never forget, he is God, but he is yet God manifest in the flesh. And as such, he is the believer's salvation. He is the believer's place of safety and security. Now, in the text here, Isaiah mentions four things. He's our hiding place from the wind. He's a hiding place from a storm of God's wrath. The Lord Jesus Christ is often described as the hiding place from the storm, from the wind, from the tempest. David said in Psalm 27, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon the rock." The Lord Jesus Christ is the hiding place from the storm and wind of the wrath of God due against our sin. You see, in the place of all God's elect, the Lord Jesus Christ stood and took all the storm of God's wrath and gives to his people perfect salvation and rest. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" He's our hiding place. And because Christ suffered for our sins, Paul said, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Those in Christ, by God-given faith, are safe. No condemnation to those who are in Christ. Those outside of him are in great danger. The wrath of God abides on those who don't believe. And then in the text he says he's not only the hiding place, but he's the covering from the tempest. No longer do we dress up in our filthy rags of self-righteousness. We have a perfect robe provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a robe of righteousness. He says in Isaiah 61:10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for my soul shall be joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath robed me, covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornament, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels." In Christ, the believer has a perfect robe of righteousness, purchased by Christ, applied by the Spirit, and imputed to all those who believe the gospel, imputed by freely, reckoned righteousness imputed by the grace of God. And then thirdly, we read rivers of water in a dry place. There is abundant provision of salvation in Christ. He's plenteous in redemption. He's the rivers of water. He's a river of life in a dry place. That's us, dry and dead in sin. Our sinful nature, no moisture of life, no spark of hope, none righteous, no, not one. But this drought of our nature, sinful as it is, does not hinder Christ from coming into our soul. This drought is only removed, and our sin is only removed by the river of life, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what he said to the woman at the well? He said, "You drink of this water, this natural water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of that water that I give you, there shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And then fourthly, he describes this safety and peace and salvation we have in Christ as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, in many ways, this life can be considered as a weary land because of our sin and setbacks and sorrows. Man that's born of woman is few days and full of trouble. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our rest. He's our rest. He's our refreshing from this weary storm of sin, from this weary life of sin. He says that in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He is a rock upon which we rest. He's the foundation upon which shall not be moved. You see, the believer in Christ, resting in him. That's why Paul said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. He's the believer's safety and salvation. This King who reigns in righteousness, He is the believer's salvation. Now be very sure, my friend, that you take shelter and refuge only in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only hiding place. He is the safe hiding place. And He is the eternal hiding place provided by God. And remember this, only that which God has provided will God accept. God has provided Christ alone. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Him the believer stands complete. Well, I hope this has been a blessing to you today. If you would like to have a copy of this, I'd gladly send it to you absolutely free. No charge, no obligation. You can call me at 631-9053. Or if you would like to write to me and request a copy, you can write to me at this church, 6088 Zebulun Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky.